Under Pressure.
Is it Under Pressure?
Yeah, yeah. Under Pressure is the exact same thing as Ice Ice
Baby. That was the original Bowie.
Queen.
Under Pressure and Another One Bites the Dust both by Queen?
Yes.
Okay.
No, Under Pressure is David Bowie.
David Bowie and Queen.
And Freddie Mercury sings with
Did
it.
He do
okay,
Under
well,
Pressure?
Look, I knew it was... I knew it was like a man who has been claimed by the bisexual community. And that's all that matters.
There is no other man on the face of the earth who could sing that line in Under Pressure. It is so perfect.
Do you love that song, Heather?
I love that song.
It's pretty fucking fire.
The Under Pressure?
Yeah.
I'll sing that right now.
There goes your whole theory.
You could sing it, but it will not be as beautiful as Freddie Mercury singing it.
Freddie Mercury is pretty incredible.
He'll never disappoint you because he's dead.
But also, the man could do everything. His vocal technique is stunning. It, like...
I know. I want to get him. I want to get whichever vocal coaches were on him, and I want them to be on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
This is now a Freddie Mercury stand podcast.
By all means. Night at the Opera. Let's, like, start
Welcome
streaming.
Welcome to Nameless Groupies.
Welcome to Nameless Monsters, where we all have shrines to Freddie Mercury in our closets.
Not me. Mine's in the living room.
Thank you for joining us so much. For episode 22. Woo!
I forgot we were already recording.
You are recording, though, right?
Yeah, I am recording. I have the Audacity up, great. And the like little bars are going off. I just, like, I don't know.
You got caught up in the power of Freddie
I got
Mercury.
Caught up in the Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
We'll do it.
It's hard not to.
Thank you for joining us. I am Freddie Mercury, your keeper.
No, nice. You're not.
And I go by they, them pronouns. And tonight we have with us Freddie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie. I am playing Freddie, and I go by they, them pronouns.
With us tonight, we have Dennis.
Hey, I'm Dennis. I play Brad Johnson, the mundane. We both use he, him pronouns.
We have Lester.
I'm Lester. I play Morris, and we both use he, him pronouns.
And Heather.
I'm Heather. I play Mags Oliver, the professional. We're both she, her.
And special guest slash best friend, Rachel.
Aw, thanks. I'm Rachel, they, them. I'm playing Charlotte Johnson, and she uses she, her.
And I am your keeper, Nate. I use he, him pronouns. Surprise, I'm not Freddie Mercury. Ha, gotcha.
Darn.
No.
Foiled
I don't think
again.
Any of us were fooled. Except maybe Rachel, apparently.
Can you just let me have my moment?
Never.
I did like that you were turning into Skeletor.
I am Skeletor, Overlord of Evil.
And what are Skeletor's pronouns? He's got to be he, him, right?
He's a Skella self pronouns.
We love to see it.
You love to see it. Some neo pronouns.
Yep.
I'm like, smush that English language all up, baby. Show me what you can do with it.
So, like I said, this is episode 22, so can anybody go over maybe what happened in episode 21? I know, but I want to test you and see if you do.
Did Adelaide eat Dennis?
She tried to.
Well, she tried to eat Brad.
Well, true.
Well, yeah, okay.
She reached through the fourth wall and tried to devour Dennis.
Other things happened.
There was a vision, or rather... The audience saw a giant green egg hatching. Within it, there was an otherworldly landscape changing everything it touches.
Oh, we broke into an office.
Yes, we broke into a lot of places. We went to the general store, we being Mags, Morris, and Charlotte, while Brad stayed back with Adelaide.
To get eaten.
Yes.
Mistake.
We stocked up on lights and guns and first aid supplies. And then we broke into City Hall, found Mayor Corder's office. We did some poking around, found a button, a date book, the final week.
Jaden's magic.
The chamber at midnight on Friday. 3 days is all we have. And then I guess we'll cut over to Dennis and let him recount what happened with Adelaide.
Well, I was hanging out in her room and she woke up and told me she was hungry and tried to take my magic boy soul from me because she is no longer a magic lady and she misses the magic. She needs the feel of that magic deep, deep down inside her.
I feel like this is a commercial at the college that we went to about the dangers of being in the room of a person of the opposite sex.
You know what? Maybe they were right, Heather. This is what we're learning. Because if Brad had followed the rules of propriety, this wouldn't have happened.
That's right. That's right. If he had stayed in the lobby like he was supposed to.
Exactly.
But he had to go be a himbo hero slut, and here we are.
That's what he gets for wearing those short shorts everywhere. If he wasn't wearing such slutty clothes, this wouldn't have happened.
Oh, man.
God.
A himbo hero slut. Fucking.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah, so she tried to take his magic, and he tried to calm her down, and she kissed him very aggressively and tried to suck his magic right out of him, and not in a sexy way. He locked her in the bedroom, and then while everybody was talking about it after they came back from their supply run, she broke a window and went down to the basement and tried to drain all the magic from her magic stuff. Morris encased her in magic crystals.
That's what I did.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
That will not last forever because she is eating the magic from them. We tied ropes around the crystals in such a way that as she broke free, they would like slip knot and cinch up around her so she'd still be tied up. And then we put 2x4s over the basement doors and parked a truck over it and just really went overboard.
We really did.
Oh, she also took one of my luck points.
I forgot about
and
that.
And brought... Yeah, she took one of Brad's luck points and brought his doom tag, the end of days, into play when she did so.
Yeah, that was nasty. That was mean.
We'll get you a lucky rabbit foot and it'll fix it right up.
I believe I remember giving you a choice.
Yes.
And not forcing a dead luck upon you.
No, yeah, you did. Absolutely. There was a long conversation about what made sense narratively. But yeah, I was fully on board with that. Let the record show that Dennis was fully on board with complicating everyone's lives by bringing his terrible, terrible doom tags into play.
You were kind of excited about it. It was a little gross.
I really was. I love causing problems.
I think that we open with the shrouded chamber again. The sconces on the wall and the series of chairs arrayed in the middle of the room where the plaid wizard stands. In the chairs are seated other people, cloaked and hooded, their faces covered. Everybody go around and give me one thing in this room. It can be about the people there. It can be about the decorations in the room. It can be something else.
They're all wearing the exact same perfume. It's like a light, fruity grapefruit scent from Bed Bath & Beyond.
I mean, except for the plaid wizard who has to smell like s'mores, right?
You can smell like s'mores with a grapefruit aftertaste.
Ew.
Yeah, ew.
Gross.
You can get flavored marshmallows.
But should you?
All right.
I think I got that. Hole in one.
There's just grapefruit
scent. All on the grapefruit diet.
Because
when you're a wizard, you don't take medicine, and so it doesn't matter.
They're all eating grapefruits. That's what it is.
That the grapefruit destroys all medicine.
Yeah.
What?
There's like a chemical in grapefruit that like makes a lot of medications ineffective.
Or stronger.
Huh.
Like if you're on birth control, you can't eat grapefruit ever again.
Or thyroid medication.
Interesting.
Anyways.
I think last time you said that the thrones were growing out of the floor like trees.
Yes.
And I think that a couple of them look like different sorts of forest features. Like you're in this room with intricate inlaid floors, and there's one throne coming up that looks like Morris made it. It looks like a series of staggered crystal formations. And then there's another one that looks like a tree. It's got bark graining as it goes up, and there's a canopy that extends over the head of the person sitting in it. There's one that looks like a mushroom.
Dope. Love it.
I think that on top of there obviously being a ton of books and tomes and papers, I feel like the need to take notes overcame that, and there's just runes written everywhere.
Very cool.
I guess it's my turn. There's got to be floating stuff, right?
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to say that the lights in the room are, there's no torches, there's no like electric lights. What there are is just sort of like just floating balls of light filling the space and casting omnipresent glow over everything.
Love it.
The plaid wizard stands before the others. He is leaning on what looks like a very sturdy and thick fishing pole made of wood. And he says to the assembled wizards, Brad has made the change. All will be well. Another wizard says, yes, but was it in time? He could still fail. The plaid wizard responds, don't worry. I have set him on the right course. And we cut to, what is Brad doing?
I think he feels offended for some reason that he can't quite put his finger on. I think he's probably taken a shower. I think he's probably made some lunch. I don't know what time of day it is. He made some food, just trying to find some sense of normalcy in all of this insanity and just sort of trying to not think, because that's not what Brad does. He's catching up on the comments on his Patreon account since we have cell service now.
Oh. 3 months worth of no content.
There's a lot of really concerned ones like, hey, are you okay? We haven't heard from you in a while. No new posts? ?
Oh, man.
Unsub.
Oh, no. He sees all that. He's like, oh, okay. And he like pulls the phone up and starts recording a video. And it starts with, hey, what's up, Brad's buds? Sorry, it's been a while. You know, quick update. And sort of gives a general rundown minus the monsters. You know, how things have been really crazy, and he'll be hopefully producing some pretty gnarly content soon, as soon as he can get out somewhere that has some rapids or some rock climbing or whatever it is that Brad's going to do next.
Do you mention Triple Springs, like, by name?
No, I don't think he mentions the name of the town. I think it's just sort of a general apology for being gone for so long and a promise to sort of be back to posting regular content as soon as possible.
Okay. What is everyone else doing?
Before we dissipate completely, Mags is gonna start a family meeting. Guys, can we have a family meeting down in the kitchen, please? Thank you. Family meeting.
Brad picks up his sandwich plate and walks into the kitchen with it.
I think Morris is working on his magic lick idea. My magic lick idea that I'm giving to Morris as a gift, as his creator.
What is the idea again?
Because I just feel like it's the kind of like dopey shit Morris would come up with as a solution.
For sure.
Adelaide's trying to eat magic, right? And Morris is obsessed with his magic crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Salt is a crystal. Deer have salt licks. So he's like, he's using magic to form a salt lick rock that is like got some of his magic channeled into it to like try and like tame Adelaide.
Okay, so I think this is going to be big magic.
This is not going to be big magic to make salt.
It's not about just it being salt, though. It has to be infused with magic, right? Because that's what Adelaide is feeding off of. So you need a significant amount of time to funnel magic into it. Like,
I'm not saying he's doing it immediately. This is a fidget thing he's doing while we're having the family meeting. He's like holding a salt rock and just kind of like staring at it and slowly putting tiny amounts of magic in it.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. It will eventually be a big magic move. Here are the options for requirements that I can choose from. I will choose spend a lot of time. It is going to be days.
That makes sense.
I think that you need some rare and weird ingredients and supplies in that you need a lot of salt. And it like packs it down, basically.
Very, very compressed salt.
Yeah, it makes it super hyper compressed.
So Morris has to spend a long time and he's going to have to steal all the salt in Triple Springs.
Yeah. you need to use magic as part of the ritual for
sure. Well, yeah. I got a +3 on that. +4 with my +1 forward.
And it will have a specific side effect or danger.
Ew! Morse is going to get sodium poisoning.
I was thinking more along the lines of you accidentally put too much magic in and it, you know, rips part of your soul out. But, you know.
Well, he's not putting that much magic into it.
I'm saying that if you failed your roll, or perhaps as a consequence for getting a mixed success.
Oh, I thought you just said if I do it, Morse will lose his soul.
No. But yeah, that is the specific side effect or danger, is that you can put too much in.
Okay. Well, I think for now at the family meeting, Morris is just going to be staring very intently at a canister of salt.
Beautiful. That took forever. My apologies.
I was going to say, when Charlotte hears Mags calling her in, she is outside staring like where Adelaide would be and is seriously considering, if she threw herself down there and Adelaide sucked all the magic out of her, would she still be alive? And then she hears Mags calling and then shakes the thought away and runs inside.
Oof.
Mm.
Okay, everybody. Family meeting. So, Morris and Charlotte, you already know this. Brad, I just wanted to bring you in on this. Mags opens up her notebook. You guys can see, like, rough diagrams of the church and a sketch of downtown. Apparently, we only have until Friday, until whatever is being planned is going to happen. My vote is that we get in there as soon as possible and try and nip this in the bud before things really get kicked off. So, we are here. I think that this is a good time for us to spitball some plans and figure out how we go in there guns blazing to stop all of this. Doesn't have to be guns blazing, I guess, but that seems to be the way we usually end up, so I guess I was just jumping to the end there. Any thoughts?
What'd you say?
Guns blazing. Are you good, Morris?
Morris?
What? I've been staring at what? Hmm? Salt?
What you doing, buddy?
I'm making some salt. Like pink Himalayan sea salt, but like not a scam.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts about how we can maybe stop the evil that's happening in town and turning our friends into magic sucking monsters?
Murder.
Yes. Let's be more specific. That's like any specific murder ideas.
Murder with gun.
Okay.
We dig a hole. We position ourselves directly over the basement of the church, and we drill a hole down, and you drop grenades into the basement.
I do like dropping grenades.
Yeah.
And you do like killing people in holes.
Okay. I am not normally this person, but I think somebody needs to rein it in. We did see a ton of civilians entering that church. I did load us up with guns, but I do think guns should be a last resort. I think that blowing stuff up should be a last resort.
Charlotte, you're going to have to change that attitude if you want to be part of this group.
Okay, so maybe before, but I do like the idea. I wonder if we can put together some sort of sleeping gas, maybe?
That's a very fascinating idea.
So let's think, maybe there's a magic solution that we can work together and make some sort of spell around the perimeter and everybody inside it would fall asleep. Or
what if we curse the drinking supply?
Sure. That may take more time than we have. I was thinking something that would just knock out everybody in the church, because that's where they all are, right? That's where we assume they all are. So any ideas about how we can get the citizens out of danger? I have to assume that if they're going in, they are under some sort of influence.
Max, you just said we were going to drug them. That's not getting them out of danger. They could have heart conditions.
Okay. I'm willing to take that small risk if it means not murdering all of them.
Yeah, the USDA does it all the time.
All right, so that means that Max is okay with murdering some of them. Did you hiss like a cat?
Hey, Char. Charlotte.
Yeah?
You like went through the door. Did you get to see anything in particular that would be helpful? Like, did you see a bunch of people down there, or?
I did see some people, and I saw a bright green light emanating from the end of the hall.
Okay.
Interesting.
I didn't see any more people than the average, like, amount of cultists that would be there, I guess.
Correct.
But I went through town to go check the houses and everything, and nobody was there. And then we went by the church, and there were people going into the church. But I have a feeling that they're probably being used for whatever big spell they're trying to accomplish. And by the time we wait until Friday, they're going to all be dead. That's just my worst case scenario fear.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to save all those people. I'm here to bring Mags back. But wouldn't it be nice if I did?
Well, and that's, you know, one of the things they teach us is that sometimes when you're in the field, your mission parameters shift.
Yes.
Also, if the world ends, you definitely don't bring Mags back. So there's that.
There is that.
That is a shift in mission parameters. So.
Quick question. What have the civilians ever done for us?
Oh my God.
Morris.
Okay, look. If the risk is the world getting destroyed, and this and taking care of the civilians is going to make it more risky, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Well, the devil doesn't need one. He's good. He's got plenty already.
Okay, I'm playing efficient numbers guys advocate.
I think there's a difference between like fighting mind controlled civilians if necessary to save the world and our plan A be the wholesale murder of mind controlled civilians.
Yes, Brad. This is correct.
I will repeat one of the primary rules of the game, which is...
We're the good guys.
You're the good guys.
Yeah.
So...
But sometimes the ends justify the means. I'm just saying, like, if we take all this time to plan saving the civilians, that takes away time from planning to not have the world get destroyed.
Here's the thing, though, is that we have to get by all of these people, and it is much more efficient to knock them all out or eliminate them to a state of passivity instead of trying to kill all of these people. Like, it takes a lot to kill a person. And this is Mags in character explaining this. Just an action economy standpoint. We don't have enough bullets between all of us to kill all of the people in this town that are in that church basement. We just can't do it.
But we don't exactly have the supplies to like drug everyone either.
But we have magic.
I will reiterate as well, it is not just 30 people in this town.
Hundreds.
I believe I said 2,000.
At least 2,000. I thought it was like 150.
No, Greg's general store sees 200 people a day.
Yeah. Yep.
Was that a fact we said?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's the only store in town. You gotta go get, you know.
You're right.
Okay, killing off like a high school's worth of people is kind of jacked up. Never mind. Okay, we can poison them.
I think we need to either put them to sleep or we need to make ourselves using some sort of magic stronger, as in harder to hurt, or literally invisible.
What if we encase ourselves in diamond crystal mechs?
I'm open to this idea, or at least something along those lines. Because unless I'm changed, I don't have a lot of protection on me. And y'all don't seem to have a lot either. So I think if we could maybe do some sort of magic to fix that, that would give us a good boon.
What are we going to do with that egg when we get there anyway? Like, do we have a plan?
I'm going to assume that I texted my supervisor about this egg and was like, hey, yo, oh, yeah. Egg might destroy the planet.
I just can deal with the agency now.
You can.
I finally have some of my moves.
I will remind you, you have 3 red tapes.
I understand that. But I can finally use my move that I'm supposed to be able to use.
Let's use it.
That Nate immediately took away from you.
I explained to her that.
He did.
I explained to her that it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
So she did not pick in ignorance.
Yes, this is accurate. But can I do that?
It's a move that you have, so yeah, absolutely.
Great. I pick up my phone and I am calling Judith Smalley.
Why don't you roll? Deal with the agency.
It's plus sharp. Okay. It's a 10.
Thank goodness. Ooh.
You rolled a 10. Yeah. All right, read to me what happens on a 10.
So I don't actually know where my original character sheet is.
What?
But what I have written down is the request is approved. My slip goes unnoticed.
Okay. What are you requesting?
I don't know if you'll let me ask for two things.
No.
One's just a question. Okay.
It says a request.
Okay, you're right. I want sleeping gas.
Sleeping gas.
Something to, I mean.
Can you request anything?
Request a bunker buster.
Within reason. The thing is, there are some tags that your agency has, which are budget cuts.
Yeah, and bureaucratic.
Bureaucratic. So here's the deal. I think what you can get because of your tags on your agency, I think it will take 3 days. So it will be in time, but it's going to be right up to time. And that's because of like paperwork that you need to fill out. Like they're going to email you some fucking PDFs.
Yeah, no, I know.
and the shipping and everything. And the budget cuts means you can only get like 2/3 of what you need.
Okay. So we've got the gas. Okay, so we'll go in on Friday.
Man.
Charlotte, can you and Morris work together on some kind of magical armor for us? Or I guess it doesn't need to be magical. It just needs to be armor.
I feel like Mags, Morris, and if Charlotte is magic enough, would know the answer to this, but I personally don't. Is it more efficient to make like a magical armor for everyone, or is it more efficient to just like use magic to knock out the rest of the town that the sleeping gas doesn't get to?
Perfectly valid.
Like which one takes lesser magic resources?
I think that they're kind of equivalent. So I think you do one or the other.
Okay.
Because those are pretty big magical feats, you know?
Right.
Isn't Morris going to be busy doing the Salt Lick anyway, or did you decide not to do that?
If you distract Morris, he will not be doing the Salt Lick thing anymore. And Morris has been distracted.
How about Morris focuses on the Salt Lick thing? I will focus on acquiring some type of armor, be it magical or otherwise.
Morris suggested diamond magic armor. Morris is now on the magic diamond armor. Salt Lick is just not as interesting.
Charlotte is just staring at the ceiling like, there really is no God. I came here to get one person and got three weirdos.
Mags isn't a weirdo.
I mean,
at the very beginning of the adventure, Adelaide showed us all those like random ass clothes they had. So I think Charlotte and I's first step should go look at those to see if any of those could just be like enhanced. And then we'll discuss diamond magic armor shit.
You're just going to find some like punk rock vests and turn them into flak jackets?
Yeah, well, you can take any clothes and imbue them with like an armor, right? And so I'm hoping that's kind of what we can do, but I don't know if it's going to work.
You can. It will not stack with something that already has armor, though.
Oh.
So like, it's not going to stack with indestructible.
Right. I didn't figure it would.
That's just how armor in this game works, is it does not stack.
Okay, well, let me rephrase then. Do Mags and Brad have armor?
Yes.
I'm good.
Lester, do you have armor?
No. Morris is like a naked newborn baby.
I really feel like somebody should be trying to figure out what this thing is and how we stop it.
I mean, Max would be the most suited one to do that because, like, she's the book person. She can read. She's literate.
That was going to be the next phase was after we figure out what we're going to do with all of the people, we've got to kill Jaden Indigo Child. Mags asks.
I will die if you kill him, probably.
Okay, what's that about?
Wait, what?
Didn't I mention I feel like I told you guys that I'm under like a geish or whatever.
What? I don't know.
I can't remember. Not you, Charlotte. You're not the center of attention always.
Wow.
Right. When you're right, you're
so
right.
Aggressive towards Charlotte. What is the
Am
deal
I
here?
Really?
What? Yeah, Morris is hella aggressive.
You tried to kill me.
Morris is
Charlotte.
Jealous because Brad abandoned Morris in favor of Charlotte. And so now Morris is acting like a jealous sibling or
I
something.
Woke up those old abandonment
yeah,
issues.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
So I should keep being mean to Charlotte is what I'm hearing.
No.
I'm just waiting for Rachel to put you in your place and it's going to be hilarious.
I mean, Charlotte strongly considered shooting Morris when she first walked in and he was acting like a psycho. But she did, and I decided that was crazy and I didn't do that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I am also a fan of your characters.
Okay. You're under a curse about Jaden?
Is that what a geish is? I'm supposed to take him in alive.
Supposed to take him in alive.
To the cat ladies.
Your cult, your organization wants him returned.
Yeah, it's a multimedia, not multimedia,
multi-level.
Wow.
Multi-level yeah. marketing. A multimedia, multi-level marketing scheme.
Scheme is really kind of pejorative. That's, wow.
I meant... club
cult
club
it's a cult.
Okay, yeah,
we're just a little club, a cheeky little club.
Yeah, it's just a little tiny club.
Just
he joined it from his college campus.
Okay, so we have to capture Jaden.
Yeah, we have to capture Jaden so that I can mail him okay. to the cat lady who's in charge of me.
Then we have the mayor is involved at a high level with all of this egg stuff.
Morris's phone is busted.
Mm-hmm.
Can I borrow someone's phone to call the cat lady and like convince her that killing Jaden is totally like dope?
Mags passes her phone over.
Okay. Morris calls the lady whose name I wrote down in a
Grendelhill
text file. Grendelhill. Okay, cool. Yep, that's the first thing that's on the text file I just run. Mrs. Grendelhill to talk about Jaden Indigo Child.
Oh, Morris, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Can I
hope you've called me to inform me of some positive results.
Yeah, I know where he is. He's trying to destroy the Earth. Can I kill him?
Oh, well.
He deserves it like a lot.
We do need him alive. Why don't you roll manipulate someone?
All right. Oh, shit. No, wait, that was a 3. My room's just dark. All right, I got a 5.
Oh, jeez.
Oof.
Hard pass.
Oof. Oof, a 5.
Where does that put you on the level up track?
Oh, right, shit. Thanks for reminding me, Heather. Well, that's my first experience in a while, because I've only been doing use magic rules for the last, like, 3
that
episodes.
That is true.
Yes. It is true.
Okay, but, like, Mrs. Grendelhill, Jaden keeps trying to kill me. Like, am I not allowed to defend myself?
As was stated, you must bring him back alive and unscathed.
I'm just gonna break your stupid fucking geish.
You will do as you are told. And from the phone, you, Morris, see her coming out of the phone.
Oh, shit.
And she begins, like, forming out of the phone, like, dripping, oozing bits of cloth and skin.
I hand the phone back to Max, and I say, she wants to talk to you.
And as you hand her away, her hand, like, swipes through you. And you realize that it is totally insubstantial. And as it swipes through you, you take 1 harm from your geish.
All right.
You feel the compulsion come over you more strongly and
gosh,
your brain fucking hurts.
Is my geish only about Jaden Indigo?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to kill Mrs. Grendelhill.
Why don't we just break the geish?
Yeah, we can do both.
Okay, we're getting back to what you can do in the amount of time that you have.
Okay.
So I believe you all decided to make magic armor.
Yes. Is it just me and Charlotte who need the magic armor?
Yeah, maybe me, but definitely you, just in case.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I came up with a great idea of what his armor could look like. Imagine like a disco ball that's been like shattered into pieces and then like pasted onto a jacket.
So sequins.
No, but they're bigger pieces.
Oh my gosh. Morris ends up looking like a flamenco dancer.
Yeah, I want to make armor that looks That's like that.
Dope. This is big magic. You're going to need mirrors for sure.
Yeah, there's mirrors in this house.
And you're definitely going to need to roll use magic.
Yes, of course.
Charlotte can help out with. It's going to take an amount of time. It's going to be the same thing where you're channeling magic into it, basically.
Sorry, Adelaide. You're being left to die.
Depending on your success, I think I will make it 0, 1, or 2 armor.
Ooh. I rolled one dice and it was a 6.
Okay.
Which puts me at a... what I fucked up just now was my previous roll. I should have added the +1 forward. +1 forward to use magic. It's +1 forward just to the next roll.
I see.
So regardless, it's irrelevant. I got an 11.
Okay. Fabulous.
I also got an 11.
Double fabulous.
Ooh.
Okay, so that definitely succeeds, and that's something that is done over the next 3 days.
Cool. Morris will be so focused that he's not going to shower.
I mean, you can only do it for a certain amount of time every day before you're tired, right? So it's not like all day long yeah. you're doing it. But
I just don't want to be finishing up a spell on top of waiting for the sleeping castle on the same day.
It will succeed at the dawn of the third day.
How much armor do Charlotte and I get?
I believe I said it was going to be 2.
Hey, Morris, have you used your vision?
I didn't know if it had refreshed yet because I can only use it once per mystery.
We are on a different adventure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Are there questions on there that would give us information about how to beat this otherworldly landscape egg?
That's not a bad idea.
Okay, I'll do it as a side thing. Like, I'll go to bed at night and be like, here's my nightly fortune-telling thing.
So why don't you narrate that scene for us, then? Like, what does it all look like?
Remember when Morris made the little, like, TV out of crystals? He's going to do that again, because that's never failed. So that he can get a glimpse at his fortunes that I don't know what they are, and Nate doesn't know what they are yet. But we will know what they are eventually.
Snake eyes.
Why do you hate us?
Is that what you want me to roll?
Yes.
That's very cruel. I got a 4 and a 3, which is a 7, +3 is 10.
Okay, so you get to hold 3. We see like the camera in front of Morris, who has this crystal kind of close to his face, flashing images very rapidly as his eyes are like stuck wide open and he's staring at this thing. And then we cut to what's Brad doing? I just mean over these like 3 days.
I don't know. I think Brad feels a little bit useless. He's not, you know, ordering sleeping gas. He's not casting magic. He's not researching how to stop non-Euclidean landscape from hatching out of an egg. So I think he at some point goes to sort of check on Adelaide over those 3 days, because we knew she was coming out of the crystals at some point, right? Is there a time where like we hear thudding down in the basement or anything like that where we think she's out of those crystals, or does she stay entrapped the whole time?
You don't hear anything. You're welcome to go down there and check. While everybody's off doing their own things.
If you wait for Mags, she'll go back you up.
Mags is on her 3-day-long phone call. What the fuck?
I was going to say, I think Mags is reading some books, getting her study on, figure out what that egg is.
God, I don't know. I really want to try to see what Adelaide's doing. I don't know what else to do, you know? So that would be fun. I go to Greg's Muscle Hut, even though it's empty, and I go set as many PRs as possible with that no limits move. And when I get bored with that, I think I'm going to go like knock on the cellar door and, you know, see if Adelaide can hear me, see if I hear anything at the cellar door.
You definitely don't hear anything. It's silent down there.
What if she's dead?
What if she is dead?
We didn't give her any food.
We did.
Can I request that Mags do her thing first? Because if she's going to like research and it's also going to take 3 days, that will affect whether or not Brad decides to bother her or not with this. Does that make sense?
Sure. Depends on the research. Also, a lot of the books are down in Adelaide's sanctum.
That's the thing, is I think we've got to go down there to get the stuff.
Okay.
So maybe Mags comes to you.
I kind of like the idea if it's like that thing where we sort of bump into each other on the way to do it.
Yes.
And like Brad is embarrassed. Like, I wasn't going to the basement.
Oh, I actually was going to the basement. Will you come with me? I need some help.
Is
that okay?
No, yeah, if you're going, yeah. Like, I was really busy with other stuff. But, like, if you're going to go to the basement anyway, sure, I can go with you.
Mags, like, drops her voice a little bit and leans in. I know I haven't wanted to say anything, but never mind. I just don't want to put any pressure on you is all I was trying to say. That's all. Pats him on the shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're sure you're good.
Oh, no, like, I'm...
What's that noise?
Let's go to the cellar.
That was a great noise, Dennis. That was a great noise that you just made with your mouth.
And your throat, I guess. That was like
kind of the whole throat mouth complex. It was a joint effort. I just took some of that meat down there and slapped it together and out came those sounds.
Oh God.
Jesus Christ. What has this episode become? This is the beach episode.
Okay.
All right. So you both head down to the basement. You pull the truck away and unbar the door, and you enter.
I go first.
It is dark. Thankfully, you have 5 bajillion flashlights.
That's right.
To light the way. And you get to the door to the, like, inner sanctum in Adelaide's cellar. And Brad, do you open it?
Before he does, Mags calls out, "Hey, Adelaide, we're coming in to get some things. I know you're probably mad, but please understand, we just want to help you."
And then I, like, step to the side of the door and, like, motion for Mags to do the same on the other side. And I count to, like, 10 to make sure no bullets come flying through. Because I remember this.
A meet cute.
So as you open the door, you hear the door, like, going across the floor catches something. It starts grinding a little bit as it catches it.
Mm-hmm.
And you shine the light in and you see crystal all over the ground. But it is not the crystal that Morris created.
What?
I'm sorry?
More like it was the crystal Morris created, but it changed.
With the magic sucked out of it.
Now it's all spongy and gray.
Yes, actually.
Gross.
And from it is growing strange plants of some sort.
Oh.
That's all you could call them, because they are so bizarre and so foreign, but the moment you lay eyes on them, your brain flashes back to the nightmare that you had as you were consumed by this.
Okay, that's not great. Is there also an Adelaide in the room?
There is not an Adelaide in the room.
How in the world did she get out?
Did she dig a hole in the wall with a spoon or something?
Why don't you roll investigate a mystery if you're looking into it?
May I do that?
You may absolutely look into that.
Brad is just looking at the crystals and looking at you like, what? What? Yeah, what? Yeah, what?
Oh, that's 12.
You see on the ground some kind of magic circle. You're not sure what it does. You'd have to look into it. Well, no, sorry. You got a 12 on investigative mystery. You asked 2 questions. What are your questions? Sorry.
Where did it go?
You see a book open on the table with some script in a language you probably do not speak. Ancient Greek or something. It's got a picture of that circle in it. There's like a fading, crackling magic about the circle. You could probably put 2 and 2 together that this was used for some kind of teleportation.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
From above the table. If her magic was taken from her?
She ate the magic from the crystal and then used it to make a teleportation circle to escape.
Thank you.
That makes sense.
I will also add that I have a move.
Yeah.
The monster escapes.
Okay.
Okay.
Is Adelaide the monster now?
She is a monster.
Because we tried to reason with her, and you were like, you can't reason with a monster.
Which,
I remember now.
By the way, Nate.
What's up, dude?
I'm mad about that. I just want you to know.
Aww.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm fine with it. I'm also very mad about it.
I'm sorry, Dennis.
It's okay.
Don't be mad at me.
That's not really Nate's fault. That's more just that this game system is very anti-monster.
Yes.
It is.
Wait, you're just mad that she's a monster now? Or you're mad that...
No. I'm mad that she's a monster.
You took away his girlfriend.
Which is also your fault.
Okay, it is
no,
my
I'm kidding.
Fault.
Okay, second question. What can hurt it? Not necessarily Adelaide.
What can hurt it? How do I answer this question in the context of what is in the room about the subject that you are trying to...
Or maybe by hurt it, she means cure Adelaide without harming her at all, even a little bit.
Are you talking about what can hurt Adelaide or what can hurt the growth?
Seeing the growth that is springing out of these crystals.
Yeah.
Can I experiment maybe and figure out how to hurt it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you hold one, right? And you continue to do stuff. And you take like samples of this stuff and try to basically destroy it.
As a control, I smite part of the plants.
Mm.
Yeah, that smiting it destroys
There's
it.
Your baseline.
For sure.
Yeah, start from there.
I think, I actually hadn't decided on a weakness for it yet.
Mm.
So you're kind of forcing my hand here. And I'm not a fan of that. But I am a fan of your characters.
Wow, it must be awful to have something you don't want thrust upon you in this podcast.
I'll get back to you, Heather.
Great.
All right, so Brad, you did your things, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to go to the basement and see if Adelaide was there, try to talk to her, and I set a bunch of PRs in the squat and deadlift.
Okay, anything else you want to do? Since yours haven't really required rolls.
No, I know.
Feel bad.
No, that's fine. I don't really have a whole lot I can roll for, I guess.
There's got to be something you can do. Like, do-do.
Do-do.
Well, I wanted to go back to Sam Kelly's house, but that wouldn't require a roll. That's just poignant. I think what I want to do, because Charlotte mentioned the hallway. Okay, here's what I'm looking for. My thinking is, if there's a hallway and we have to get to the end of it, preferably without killing people, I want to find something that I can hold in front of me like a cow catcher on a train and just sprint through that hallway and any crowd of mind-controlled civilians to push them out of the way.
I love it. I mean, you can definitely raid, like, the sheriff's office and stuff. Although... did mostly burn down.
Some of these siege shields, it looks like you could just like rip off the wall from a shed.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, there's a smithy in town. Can I find some scrap metal that I can bend into the shape of like a rough?
Yeah, I forgot about Greg's metalworks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can do that for sure. Let's do a roll for it though, I think.
Okay.
What do you think seems appropriate? Because there's not really a crafting role.
No. I was going to say you could make me just like roll, investigate a mystery or like something like that just to find something that I can use.
I mean, the town is empty and basically abandoned.
Yeah.
I think this is a tough roll just to see if you can physically do it. You can make something you can actually lift.
Yeah, I'm just going to use, I'll use No Limits to pull the door off of a car or something.
Oh, sweet. Yes. Roll Hell No yeah. Limits. Fuck yeah.
Okay.
And to like shape it into something you can use.
So that is a 6 and a 1 plus 0. So it's a 7.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens on a 7 to 9?
On a 7 to 9, you do it, but choose one consequence. Suffer one harm, take minus 1 forward, or you need to rest right now. So I'm going to say I do that on day 1, and then I rest for 2 days.
Perfect.
Okay.
Ha ha! I solved your No Limits riddle, Puzzle Master.
So you've got a car door shield? We need to decide on some tags for it.
Mm-hmm.
Zero harm, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning. Does that sound good?
Sure.
And...
heavy.
Heavy, yeah. Charlotte's doing spells. Morris is doing spells. We did Mags, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing... we just did Dennis. Or Brad, rather. Okay. Are we good and ready to, like, skip to the third day?
Oh, man.
I think that every night Charlotte is falling asleep practicing one of the few spells she for sure knows, which is trap a specific person, minion, or monster.
Fair enough.
She doesn't have any energy to put any will in it, but she's just doing it with her hands, like the little motion,
sure,
over and over and over again.
Okay.
Building muscle memory.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, do we have time for like conversation scenes or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, can we cut to Morris and Charlotte working together and Morris is just as catty as possible?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Let's do it.
I think we're just like looking at the clothes and we're like holding crystals up to them to like see how well they'll fit with them. And like chanting a little bit of magic to start like attaching things to them.
Yeah, and setting up, what did you say we needed? Mirrors?
Yeah, I think I said you needed mirrors.
I imagine we had to go around town and get a couple extra mirrors. And every time I tried to play a song, Morris would be like, this fucking sucks, and change it.
Oh my God, of course you'd listen to Owl City.
Okay, listen, it's my brother's favorite band, so if you're judging me, you know who you're actually judging is him.
Brad's favorite band is Owl City.
She like switches the radio station and it lands on some like super old country and she like thinks this is a vibe and looks over.
Morris is just glaring like, what kind of bullshit hick shit is this?
You don't like it?
No, he's just groaning about like tractors and hay and the old country and whatever else, horses. Like, who gives a shit about horses?
Okay, what kind of music do you like since you're the connoisseur of taste?
I like Japanese noise metal.
Oh, of course. Charlotte like flips through and most of it's static. But she finds a station that's
oh,
like
wait, wait,
rock
hold up,
music.
Hold up. Go back to the static. This has a good little like beat to it. You know, this works for me.
I think I'm going to crash the car on purpose if we listen to static.
I mean, like, obviously somebody who listens to Owl City would just wouldn't understand the like.
Okay, and we're here. Here's the next house.
If we're doing small scenes, Mags will go and find Brad while they're off on the mirror run.
Tell me what that scene looks like.
She'll go wherever, whichever room he's in. Knocks on the door frame. Hey.
Oh, hey.
Do you have a second?
Yeah.
Brad's got a gigantic fucking car door.
Yeah, no, what's up, dude?
That he's like warping into shape with his bare hands.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I don't want to make you feel awkward or demand anything from you. I've been worried.
Okay.
Since after we got back from the swamp, you've been kind of depressed. And now your sister's here, and I know you guys haven't really had a chance to connect and
yeah.
And all the stuff with Adelaide and
yeah.
Like I said, I'm not trying to push.
No, it's fine.
I'm just worried about you, Ben.
I know. I appreciate that. I really do. It's I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I've been at this for, you know, a couple of years at least, and it's never been like this. It's never been like this. This is I'm really out of my depth, I think. And you know, I look down at the car door in my hands and I'm
yeah.
I say, I think I'm kind of treading water now, I think. Like I'm finding my stride again, and that's great, but it's been a lot and not a lot of time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's been a real shitstorm.
Yeah, and like, do you remember a while back I told you that like part of the reason I was doing this was to try to find a way to help a person that I haven't been able to help?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, she's here now. And one of the ways that I was going to try to help her was Adelaide. Because she seems to know what she's doing most of the time, and I didn't know if maybe she could find a way to cure Charlotte or uncurse her or whatever needs to be done. And, you know, I need to talk to my sister at some point, but I just, with her being here and me being no closer now than I was when I left, to finding that cure, I'm not sure what I would say, you know?
Yeah. I will say this. I obviously don't know Charlotte very well, but I saw the way she lit up when she saw you here, when she didn't expect to find you here. And I think that she was really happy to be here to help you.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. In all of this garbage that we are trying to deal with together, trying to stop the world from ending.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In all of that, I just think it's really great that all of us have people here that care about us and that we're all here fighting for each other. I think that's really great.
I do too. And I'm really glad Charlotte's here. But I'm also really glad that you're here.
No.
And I'm glad that Morris is here.
Yeah.
And I think you told me yesterday that it was going to be okay.
Yep. I meant it.
And I think I believe you. I don't know why. It seems pretty obvious that it's on the way to being solidly not okay, but I believe you anyway. Thank you, Max. I thank you.
Of course.
So where is Charlotte?
I think we are me and Lester, or not Lester, Morris, are in one of the spare rooms that's turned like a costume room. Like, we had to bring a bunch of pieces in. We got a bunch of mirrors in here. There's a bunch of crystals going on. We just converted this into like a costume / occult room.
Gotcha.
And we're in the middle of fighting about something fucking stupid.
It's probably like the color palette of the armor. Like, of course you would choose like a spring cherry blossom pink over like a light dusty rose.
Oh, you asked for pastels and that's what you're getting, you brat.
Brad like knocks on the door frame. Hey, I don't want to interrupt the creative process.
No, you can interrupt it. We're good. What's up? Please.
Well, I was going to talk to Charlotte for a minute. Is that cool if I borrow Charlotte for a minute there, Morris?
Yes, she is ruining my creativity.
Glad I could help then. Come on.
Perfect. I mean, he can barely hold a glue gun, so I don't really know what he's doing, but that's
fuck
fine.
You.
Okay, come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on.
She follows you.
So, I don't know. I've got a lot of downtime. I'm done with my door, and
God.
You have a what now? I'm sorry. I just realized I have not been paying attention to you at all. I've really been in my own thing.
No, you've been busy. That's
fine.
No, I've got a door. It's going to be pretty cool. I'll show you. I'll show you later. I'm just really confused about. Like, I'm glad you're here. How did? What are you?
It's kind of like a big story, but right after it happened, I was fine for a while, and I could control myself for a while.
Who did you kill that was close to you?
I think I killed the nanny that raised us.
Whoa.
You guys were raised by a nanny?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. We're rich, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
I think I accidentally killed her because she was the only one who was willing to take care of me. And that's... So I'm not going to tell him that, though.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm going to say I had something... I just couldn't control myself anymore. And Dad had to fix a really big mistake for me. And then he just started pouring so much money and resources into this, like, panic room. This, like, safe that he, like, wanted to keep me in. And it was fine. It kind of sucked. But he spent so much money on it, it flagged some sort of government thing. Somebody came investigating and basically was like, we can help her, but she has to work for us, period. And we'll make sure you don't get in trouble for the thing that you did. And then here I am. I've been doing this for a while, I tried to find you for a little while, and I liked following your stuff on Instagram, but then you obviously disappeared a few months ago. You're kind of hard to talk to anyways.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
No, it's not fine.
You gotta grow up eventually, I guess.
Look, I wanted to try to find a way to stop any of that from happening. I mean, I didn't know that was happening, but...
I know.
When we found out that you were infected or cursed or whatever, I was afraid of what that might lead to, because I don't know if you remember, but I was there when it happened. That thing was not playing around, and I didn't want that to happen to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I haven't been able to figure it out, and
The thing is that I didn't really want you to figure it out for me. I just wish you would have been there for me instead of leaving me with Mom and Dad.
I thought you liked Mom and Dad. You were the golden child, so to speak.
Oh, you know, when you fly high, you fall hard or whatever.
Well, I'm here now. Or I guess, more accurately, you're here now. How about if I just don't leave again I just won't ghost you again. How does that sound?
That sounds good, because, Brad, the thing I like about you is that you give everybody the middle finger. You know? You went and did whatever the fuck you wanted, whenever you wanted, and that was really cool. But don't fucking ghost me again, because I can and will kick your ass.
Okay.
I know you think that you're all big now, but okay, like... All
right.
That ain't the truth.
Okay. Like, if we arm wrestled right now, who do you think's gonna win?
Oh, it's gonna be me.
Okay. We've got like 3 days before the apocalypse. What do you want to wager on it, little sister?
I want your curated collection of hacky sacks from all the different countries you've been to.
You would go straight for the sack, wouldn't you? Okay, cool. And if I win, then when we get out of here, you have to go rock climbing with me. And I don't mean like for a day, like we're spending the night on the cliff face.
She rolls her eyes and just like cannot even. Yeah, I'll do whatever you want.
Cool. All right. I think we go back into the room where Morris is and just like Brad sweeps everything off of the table where he's working. And just props up an arm.
Charlotte, like, wants to get mad, but seeing Morris flustered, it just makes her laugh.
We zoom out of the window where we can see everybody backlit, arguing, throwing things at one another all of a sudden. Brad and Charlotte just, like, leaping onto Morris and punching him.
And Morris dying because we're both
dying. Yes. Morris's hand reaches up at the edge of the window and like smacks the glass and drags back down. Classic. As the camera moves away from this budding competition between siblings, it zooms out and then kind of slowly turns and starts going downstairs, and we see at the dining room table Mags sitting in front of the sample that you all took from the strange plants that were growing in the basement. As you watch it, you see it move a little bit, and then it begins to grow slightly, and Charlotte, you aren't sure if it's the camaraderie between siblings or the physical exertion that the arm wrestling is requiring of you, but your memories and the sad and strong emotions that you've been feeling for a long time, but specifically the recent moments that you have had, begin to fade away. Not to happiness, but to neutrality. The camera cutting away from Mags back to Charlotte and her arm wrestling. And we get a wide shot of the two of them arm wrestling, and the camera slowly like zooms in on Charlotte. What does your face look like as this begins to happen?
While Brad is like bent over, either laughing or in exertion, her face just sort of falls completely flat. And it's a little startling. And then she sort of like shakes her head and plasters on a smile.
Now, I want to do some end of session questions.
Oh.
Ooh.
Because I like you guys, and I like to give you guys XP.
Oh, man. Now I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
Because you're being nice, and you want us to level before we get to the boss.
I am so nice all the time. No, I
know, but this is like...
You people are fucking abusive to me.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
This is an abusive fucking relationship. I come back every week to get pooped on
by you
people.
You love it. Shut up.
I love being covered in shit. It's great.
No, it's like in video games, right before you go to fight the big boss, you get that chest that's full of healing potions and buffs.
Ammunition. Also, just so you know, I rolled a 10 on that arm wrestling check for no limits, so...
Oh, that doesn't beat what I
rolled. Oh, no. Brad, go flying out the window.
I rolled 11 plus 3 because I get to use weird.
Oh, my God.
So good God.
All right. Let's do these questions and get Charlotte leveled so she can take advanced.
Okay. So, did we conclude the current mystery?
No.
No.
Nah.
A resounding no. Did we save someone from certain death or worse?
No.
You haven't really saved anybody yet. In fact, it's just constantly gone from bad to worse. Did we learn something new and important about the world?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think we did, especially in regards to the entity or the stuff in the egg, the growing. And I think that that is definitely something new and important about the world, even though we haven't decided completely what it is. So that's a yes. Did we learn something new and important about one of the hunters?
Yes. Morris is a bitch.
That's not new.
We just learned something new about Charlotte just now.
Indeed.
Does that count?
We did. The audience learned something new, certainly. So if you get one or two yes answers, you mark one experience. So everybody marks one experience.
That's a level for Max.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, this is Nate! Thanks for joining us for this episode of Nameless Monsters. You can follow us on Blue Sky, at Nameless Monsters, and on Twitter, at NamelessMon_pod. Our website is, surprisingly enough, namelessmonsters.com. And you can come hang out with us in the actual place Discord server. Monster of the Week was created by Michael Sands and is published by Evil Hat Productions. If you like the show, please rate and review us on the podcasting platform of your choice. And tell your friends, too! We really appreciate you. Be safe out there, and happy hunting!
We hope you enjoyed the music on today's episode. Most of our selections, including our show's theme song, Somewhere in the Dark, are used by permission of the composer, Holisna Radio, who can be supported on Patreon.
We also used Shadowlands 5 by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com, Sudden Hope by Troigo, Calamity Jane Train by Lobo Loco, and sound effects by Pixabay.
Full listings and links can be found in our show notes.
As was stated, you must bring him back alive and unscathed.
I'm just gonna break your stupid fucking geesh.
What?
And then I'm gonna kill you and I'm gonna kill Jaden. Actually, cut that. We're heroes. I'm not gonna kill her.
Lester!
I got too hot.